Oh, good evening, everybody. Happy Easter Monday. It's the third and footlong show here on Planet FM. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Hello, DT.
Hello, Darren Lees.
And happy belated Easter to you.
Happy belated Easter to you.
Were you eating chocolate yesterday?
Yes, of course, were you?
No.
What?
First time in forever that we haven't had a Easter egg hunt in our house.
Oh. What did you do?
There was the sign of, like, children growing older, not being at home, no Easter egg hunt.
Did Bear get a treat, though?
No.
Oh, that's just sad.
Oh, well, he got a kind of, like, you know, got a bit of a ruffle and a bit of a fight and stuff like that. That's a treat for Bear. I took him on a walk. You get a treat, right?
I guess, yeah.
So, everybody, thank you for joining us. Check out our socials on YouTube, TikTok and Facebook, where we are just generally messing around.
Yes, we are.
Oh, we're not smashing Easter eggs, some people.
Yes.
Yes, they are. Trying to act out the latest trends and doing things like eating burgers and writing controversial food polls.
Yes, you do write some very controversial.
I do. And I'm just like for clicks, right? That's all I'm doing it for.
I had no idea what plain meant when you sent it through to me.
Just no fruit, no chocolate, no nothing.
But why?
But I don't know why, but some people are there. I didn't even know it was a thing, but when I searched up, the most popular plane appeared there.
But why?
Before we go there, I need to talk about something.
Do the plain ones have the cross on them or not?
I would assume so, because then they're just like bread rolls, right? Well, no, because if they're plain, it's not even got the spice.
So, okay. Why?
There's a whole reason of why. Why sugar-free Red Bull? Why milk-free chocolate? Why, you know, there's a heap of why questions, right?
I just think, yeah. Just the bread roll.
Why? That's effectively what, a bread roll with a cross on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I found something out yesterday, and it was by complete accident.
Was it about me?
No, it wasn't about you.
Okay, that's fine then.
Not for once. I know this show's all about you, but for this one's just not.
You sent me a photo of me on your TV, and I was like, what are you doing, Darren?
This is you appearing in my lounge. I just sat down, I put on my TV, and there was you
on
my TV. And I'm like, what has gone on here? Have you just left the show and you've just gone and run your own show now? Is that what's going on?
I don't know why I was on your TV.
You were on my TV. I don't know why you were on my TV, but you were on my TV.
But
supermarkets. Mm-hmm. So it's loosely food related. You know when a supermarket sends you something? Or like when you do click and collect.
Yep.
And they haven't got what you want.
Yes.
They're so frustrating because they never usually swap it out for anything like, oh, we have no eggs. And then they swap it out for like Cadbury's cream eggs. And it's like, they're not even related. But but they do that. This week, because people criticise me for my Red Bull drinking. Even though I constantly tell people I drink one small can per day. Mm-hmm. People are like, I drink 7 litres a day.
You do.
It's one small can.
Mm-mm.
And this week when we ordered Red Bull, they did not have the small can. So they sent the big can.
Yes.
And then drinking a big can, I actually realised that I have found peak Red Bull. Because when I drink the small can, it's kind of comfortable. And when I got the big can and I got past the small can volume, my body was like, I'm now not quite enjoying this as much. So peak Red Bull for me is the small can.
Oh, you're not allowed it anymore.
Well, I'm going to get through the big can, but I find, like, a small can I can just, like, polish. The big can, I was kind of like, this is probably a bit too much.
Too much.
Or I'll have to just use more vodka. Something like that. But, like, peak Red Bull for me is small can.
Wait, are you someone who's, like, drinking the small can equivalent and then putting it in your fridge and then it flattens and you drink it the next day?
Nah, it doesn't last the next day. Although big can today, I had to do that today because I got to like peak Red Bull and I was like, nah, I'm going for a shower. And then when I came back, I was like, yeah, I can do the extra 150 mil now. I'm ready for it now.
It's a lot of extra caffeine.
Yeah, I don't really want the big cans anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to just let people know that my peak Red Bull isn't 7 litres. It's like 325 or whatever that can size is.
The big can.
No, the big can's 475. That's past peak.
Is peak small for me. Can like 100 and something?
Nah, they're about 330 or something. Aren't they 250? I don't know.
I don't know.
I know the 4.7 is too much.
Okay.
Unless it was being split into like 5 vodka and Red Bulls, then it's not too much.
Then you just take a shot.
That's right. Then I don't go to sleep for 3 weeks or something like that. I actually found out something else about myself. But it would just probably take too long.
Okay. Just leave everyone hanging.
I could, yeah. It was something. It was actually emotional.
Was it like sad emotional or happy emotional?
Well, it was a bit of a mixture of both. So you know supermarkets do their random thing?
Yes.
About like when they send you random replacements.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night, obviously, I was up to a last trying to relax and then sat in the lounge with my wife and we're just watching YouTube. And you only watch one thing on YouTube and then it recommends something else that's actually not linked to anything that you've been watching. Yeah. And eventually, up on the screen, for I don't know for what reason, not you again. No.
Okay.
For some reason, it wasn't you. I don't understand why.
Excuse me, I should be your only algorithm.
That would start to get weird.
It would.
Didn't you not today send me a text message that read, wouldn't you mind being a dirty bird tonight? And I was like, whoa, what show's this?
I didn't mean
Would you mind being a dirty bird?
I didn't mean to.
Oh, this room's heating up. I know what you meant, but it was funny.
It was, yeah.
And if people go into our social media, they'll work out what sort of dirty bird I'm being.
Wow.
This has got to make the shortcuts this week. It's got to make it short.
Dirty bird.
Oh, a dirty bird.
Yeah,
so anyway, landed on a colourblindness test.
Okay.
And as you know, I'm horrifically colourblind.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my wife, we should do this colourblindness test to see just, because she wears like the thickest glasses ever. And so we did this colourblindness test, and as per my school colourblindness test, I got 0.
Yeah.
And then this other thing came up about these colourblindness glasses that I've never really been into, these Inchroma glasses. And then I searched for demonstration of Inchroma glasses being used. And this demonstration came up of the person kind of putting the glasses over the colourblindness test.
Oh, okay.
I could actually see the numbers, and I was just like, I'd never in my life ever been able to see the numbers on a colourblindness test.
Did you think people were, like, faking
I
you out
yeah,
this
no, time? I did, yeah. I did, and I said to my wife, I really want this to be true, but I kind of feel like I'm being scammed as well, like as almost someone's deliberately. So she's now gone and found an eye place that does these tests and has gone, you should go. I cannot explain how weird it was for the first time in like nearly 45 years being able to actually see the numbers on a colourblind. It was quite emotional because I've literally scored 0 every single time I've done a colourblindness test.
And now you can see.
And then I could see them and I was like, this is amazing, but am I being scammed?
What if you don't like your favourite NFL team anymore because they're a weird colour on the
field?
That's
right, it's like, they're disgusting. I'm going to go and join them, those people. So this was like, it was one of the most emotional things that I've seen for ages.
You're finally seeing the light?
Well, I am, the kind of colour light. So now I've got to go and do this appointment because I need to know if it's real or not, or if it's just the Emperor's new clothes. So no, I'm not going to walk around naked in a pair of Inchroma glasses. That's not that type of Emperor new clothes. But I wanted to share that because for people who are colourblind, I'm going to go and check it out, and I'm going to see if it's real.
See if you can see.
I'm going to see if I can see, and then I may not. There's maybe many things in my life I won't like anymore.
No, because they'll be the wrong colour.
That's right.
To be fair, the colour of Red Bull's not very attractive when you pour it out in a glass.
Oh, I don't get time to see it. It's normally at that angle, and all I can see is the silver.
Because it might look a bit weird to you now.
It would taste the same.
What if you now have these glasses and then you accidentally buy the sugar-free Red Bull because it's the wrong colour now?
Never. It did only happen once. As soon as I tasted it, it'd be like, get this out of my face. So I just wanted to share that because that was like kind of something that I never expected to happen. It was by complete chance. And oh my God, it was mind-blowing to see these numbers.
So you're saying you believe in the algorithm?
Believe in
the algorithm.
That's right,
believe.
The algorithm came to me. Anyway, enough. Shall we do hot cross buns?
Yes.
Let's do it. Not a lot to say, not a lot of comments, but our friend was back again.
Dino.
Of course. So Dino said the practice of hot cross buns predates Christianity and was commonly used in Egyptian times.
Yes, it was.
Where symbols were applied, it was in medieval times that the church bastardized the buns. They were baked by monks and given to the poor. I'm sure they wanted mead or wine instead and a juicy roasted goose. Interesting. Today, Biscoff hot cross buns can be found and coffee-flavoured versions, which should be illegal. Damn straight. Coffee-flavoured anything should be illegal.
Do you know what's funny? Because I was editing the old Biscoff-themed milkshake and it's just that whole rant from me being like, I don't like Biscoff.
I don't like Biscoff. I got a daughter who loves Biscoff.
It's an inferior
Biscoff. Kira loves Biscoff. Bring back the medieval monks. Their buns could be substituted for stones in the event of a plebeian mass uprising.
Yes.
There you go. So there, Dino history. So just before I go in, the options were fruity chocolate, plain, I like hot cross man buns, and no buns for me, I'm an atheist. When Alia said, I'm an atheist, but hell, I'd take those chocolate hot cross buns anytime. So, kind of walked away from religion, but not in the case of a hot cross bun.
I'll tell you.
And I wondered why she was off work today, because if you're an atheist, get to work, because then this day means nothing to you.
Wow, you must be such a nice boss, Derek.
I know, yeah. Sophia, very strong strong opinion about hot cross buns.
Fruit buns?
Where's the vomit option?
Oh.
And hater.
Get out.
I'm just fine. And then I just put, you just can't please vegetarians. So maybe we just don't pander to... I told you we should never have pandered to vegetarians. And then Bear Down's back.
Bear
and
down.
He's very happy today because his team got to the semi-final of the FA Cup in England today, unfortunately at the expense of my team.
Oh, your ham theme team.
Fruity with lashings of butter.
Oh, yeah, a lot of butter.
Yeah, a lot of butter. So yeah, anyway, the vote, this was probably one of the most one-sided ever. No buns for me, I'm an atheist, 4%.
Fruit.
I like hot cross man buns, 9%, which was tied with plain, 9%. Chocolate got a respectable 18%. Fruity, 60.
Hot cross buns. Gotta be fruity, Darren.
Fruity, yeah. Well, fruity. If you're going to be fruity, you might as well be a dirty bird at the same time. So, where do you want to go to next? Do you want to do a bit of news?
Let's do some news.
Yeah, there's been a bit of news this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to talk about?
Should we start with the happy news? Stephon Gilmore retires after 13 seasons. Defensive Player of the Year as a defensive back.
Yes.
It's just nice happy news.
Congratulations to him.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk about the
changes? Rule changes.
Okay.
Rule changes. Four of, apparently.
Four of, yeah.
I had to watch a few of them a couple of times. I was like, what? What is this? But the onside kick is, like, great. It should always be at any point in the game. I don't agree with you having to tell people. Because that famous Sean Payton, tell anyone, that was just amazing.
Yes.
Now going, oh, this is what I'm going to do. You might as well just turn around and go, we're just about to do a passing play and we're going to throw it to that guy in the corner. It's like, what is that? Take it away.
Safety.
Anyway, that was the most annoying rule change. Great that you can do it at any time and if you're winning or anything, but boo to the, we've got to tell the opposite team stuff. Nah. Just, if you're the Patriots, you're watching anyway, so it doesn't really matter. You already know what the other team are doing.
But
you're spying on them anyway.
They kind of need refs for the rule changes.
Yes.
It seems to be a problem.
Yeah, refs is a bit of an issue at the moment. Might be replacing them.
Yeah, so...
It looks like technology is going to play a bigger part.
Yes, well, it's going to have to if there's no refs.
Well, this is interesting, right? Because this year they've just introduced, and I know we're an American football show, but they've just introduced the pitch square into baseball. So when the pitch is thrown, if it's outside the square now, they can actually appeal or... And if it's seen electronically out, then it tells the umpire and stuff. So baseball's going that way. Cricket, they do the sort of snicko and the, you know, the LBW thing, but they've just moved it into baseball. So over the last couple of years in baseball, the pitch clock which now you only got 30 seconds mm-hmm. between pitches, so most games are 2.5 hours, where they used to be four. Now American football seems to be embracing technology. Obviously, the Premier League did it a few years ago the with VAR, and that was a disaster for the first 2 years.
They did the eagle eye already for the NFL.
The
eagle eye, you know, where they place the line.
Oh, yeah, like the mm-hmm. but this you just feel it's going to creep in more and more. Now they can sort of dial into the umpire and go, hey, we've seen this, you need to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that speeds the game up, slows the game down, I don't know.
They already do it for the neurological.
Yeah, and every scoring play is reviewed and one thing and another, so interesting. Kickoff returns, I really struggled with that one. I was like, what? Kick out of bounds, it does this, what? I was just like, I gave up
on that whole thing. I just kind of wait for it to start. The actual football after the kickoff, I go, I don't know what's happening now here, guys, but it's not that interesting to look at.
No. And it may be seeming a bit of dark news, but it's also a bit of positive news. Puka Nacua has obviously realised he has problems and mm-hmm. he's booked himself into rehab, and I hope he gets the help he wants.
Yes.
Because he was obviously, I always found him a strange player on the field. He always seemed to act strange on the field. You know, he was always looking for trouble, or he was always taunting. I mean, I know that's part of the game, but I just hope he gets the help he gets, and the people that have been affected also get the help he gets. But it's kind of a positive when someone actually goes to find help. Drama. Two lots of drama. Philadelphia.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's always drama, though.
But that's pathetic. Jalen Hurts was the MVP 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the Super Bowl, now he's the problem?
Yes.
No.
But that's how the media
works. I know, but it's just ridiculous.
Well, that's how someone in the Eagles obviously wants you to see it.
Oh, AJ Brown by any chance?
Yes, or also the team.
Yes.
Who knows? They might be doing something this off-season that maybe alleviates this whole situation.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Talking of quarterback being outed and a team looking for a quarterback potentially, because we don't know, Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Art Rooney expects.
So, because we were saying before the show,
yeah,
what are you going to do if you're the Steelers and suddenly after the draft, because Art Rooney expects Aaron Rodgers to say before the draft what he's doing? What if he turns around after the draft and goes, "I'm going to retire"? Like, what do you do if you're the Steelers?
Well, this is the Steelers' position they were in when they drafted Kenny Pickett, right? Because they just didn't know what to do. And last year they were buggering about with Shador Sanders, and will we pick him? Will we not pick him? And they have always seemed, post Roethlisberger, they've been a mess at quarterback.
I just don't think they value the position, which is very odd.
But that was a Tomlin thing.
No, it could be the GM, Omar Khan, though.
It could be. I mean, but Tomlin was always a defensive guy, never really paid a lot of attention to the O-line.
Well, he never really had to pay attention to quarterback because he pretty much had Ben Roethlisberger his whole time. You remember Ben Roethlisberger when he came in? He had those off-field issues that were quite issues.
Contentious, yes.
Yes. So I just don't think he's ever really had to worry about it.
I know, but then, and because Roethlisberger was a big guy, he could take the hits, and so, but then when he started to break down, it was really noticeable, and then since then, it was a bit sort of like Broncos Peyton Manning, where they just went through all these quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
and they just could not find one.
Yeah, so they.
And now they are back at this fork in the road again, where it's like, because where are they in the draft? So they've got to be like 20 or something, 18, yeah, something like that. So outside of the top 10, there's nothing this year.
Oh, no, nothing.
But then if Hurts is available, I mean, does he fit the Philly?
No.
Probably not. He does not, but he probably would be the best quarterback out there.
Mm. Fun times.
News. There was news.
Yeah. Oh, Trayvon Walken got paid.
Oh, yes. Indeed. And now, oh, I was expecting to hit a button. I was thought you were just about to hit some music and I was ready to go.
I was just moving across the
hand. I was looking at you and I was like, here comes the music.
I can do.
Oh.
What would you like to announce, Darren?
I really don't know what I would like to announce. What would I like to announce?
I thought we were doing NFL draft.
Oh, we can't. Sorry.
I was very confused why you would like
to. When you said what you want to announce, I was like, what do you know about me that I don't know about me? I was like,
I don't know.
Yes.
You see,
one of my daughters loves our sound things. She's like, you need to have more sound things in your...
It's on my list of to-do.
But it's so funny. So, yes, let's talk about... I just had a feeling I was waiting for some country and western music to show.
Oh, would you prefer me?
No, we can do the draft. So we are 3 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought this week we would give you a bit of... sort of like a 10 or 12 things that you should know about the draft.
Yes.
And then we'll slowly build it by giving you our predictions. And then when the draft is done, we will review the entire first round and stuff and key things. And we'll talk about what that means for the teams.
Yes.
So, do you want to kick off?
Yes, the draft is an annual event where NFL teams select eligible college players. And this is to keep it fair among the teams so you don't get kind of the hoarding of amazing talent, because some teams obviously have a lot more money than others.
And this year, the 2026 NFL draft will take place in Pittsburgh from April the 23rd to the 25th.
Yes, and shockingly, there are 5 teams now with 2 first-round picks in the 2026 NFL draft this year.
One team that thought they were going to be in, now they're not.
Yes.
The draft structure, it runs over 3 days and it is 7 rounds. Round 1 takes place on Thursday evening US time, 2 and 3 on Friday US time, and 4 to 7 on the Saturday.
Yes, picks in round 1s have different contracts assigned to them based on where they're selected in the round. And this is very crucial because there's also a 5th year option in the first round that teams are eligible to do. They're kept on a lower contract, so that's why teams often trade back into the first round to get a QB.
Indeed. Selection, order and parity. The team with the poorest record from the previous season picks first, and the Super Bowl winner picks last in each round to promote the parity, as discussed earlier.
Yes, there are also additional picks or compensatory picks based on if a player leaves from the previous year and you don't add as much talent as there were, if you get compensatory picks. There are teams that really base their whole draft around this. And also you get compensatory picks for minority hirings, which is cool.
The on-the-clock limits. Teams have limited time to make their picks. It is 10 minutes in the first round and people go, oh, really? But we have seen the odd occasion where a team has not made the pick and then lose the pick.
Well, they don't actually lose the pick. They have to just keep running back.
Yeah, they're trying to
get it in. Yes.
So 10 minutes in the first round, 7 minutes in the second, 5 minutes rounds 3 to 6, and 4 minutes in the seventh.
Did you know about me that the draft is one of my favourite things?
Love the draft.
I love the draft.
I love the draft as well.
I think it's the fact that there's just so much hope. And I don't. At some point, I always end up crying because you just see these like such happy like players that have been picked, and yeah. So that's always happens on the draft night for me.
There's two things that I love seeing.
Yes,
like it's the, as you say, it's the absolute. Joy. Like I remember Ted McMillan last year. He just ran on the stage, picked up Roger Goodell, and then there was a pick later in it, and the guy, I don't know if he was the Packers guy or something, just walked out as if like, this is not what I wanted. This is just the worst thing ever.
It wasn't the Packers one, because the Packers one was Matthew Golden.
Oh, of course
go,
it
Pack,
was.
Go.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No, but there was one where he just walked out as if like,
yep.
But also the famous ones where people are sat in the green room with girlfriends or something, they slipped out Will Levis-esque.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you find out the next day that the girlfriend's left.
Yes. So sad.
So, draft order spotlight for 2026, the Las Vegas Raiders hold the first overall pick.
Yes, they do.
And the Seattle Seahawks hold the last pick in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But you can trade up or down by offering picks
or
points
players.
Or players.
Yes.
And I'll keep that one for next time.
I was going to say, teams have massive scouting departments. You employ a very large team of local scouts, area scouts. They go and visit colleges. They study game film. They start ranking the players. And then you've got each NFL team has their own kind of strategy with the big board that they rate players and kind of take into account any off-field issues, injuries. They have medical staff on them. They've got such extensive background research. It's insane. But it's needed, because otherwise you end up in the Falcons situation where you pick James Pierce Jr., who had many off-field issues and was off a lot of teams' draft boards and now potentially might not be playing this year.
Oof. Yes, that is not good when that happens. That also happened to the guy in Philly. Jalen...
Millen?
The one who ended up in the vehicle accident was projected to go
Jalen Carter,
that's it. Walker kept coming to mind, but
Laramie Tunsil.
Oh, of course.
Yes. The draft night video where it was him smoking a paraphernalia of a
Jag, yeah.
Yeah, dropped him. He was meant to be like second overall and he dropped all the way to, I think, 13 with the Dolphins.
There have been controversial moments in the draft where someone has been drafted number one and they have refused to play for the team. The most recent was Eli Manning, who was drafted by the Chargers, was so unhappy, refused, he demanded to be dealt.
Mm-hmm.
He got traded to the Giants, went on to win two Super Bowls with them. God, if you're a Chargers fan, you'd be unhappy about that. John Elway was also.
Yes.
Got traded to the Baltimore Colts, refused, and then ended up at the Denver Broncos, where he also won two Super Bowls.
I know.
So maybe if you're not happy, just you'll win two Super Bowls if you go somewhere else.
I don't know.
To be the way.
Or your team could pay you a lot of money.
That's right.
Like someone who was on our team last year.
Yes, fancy.
That's that.
You want to go?
Do you want me to go or do you want me to press the button?
Oh, no, I reckon we're going to extend the show tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I reckon we extend the show.
I want to talk about the war room set up.
Oh, yes, those are amazing to watch as well.
So it's kind of the team's command centre during the draft and it's where decisions are made and team picks are put into the league so they can be announced on TV. So in the war room, teams normally have the GM, the head coach, the scouting director, the area scouts, the analytics staff, the medical staff, and sometimes the owner, often also depends on the round and the ownership, because sometimes owners do not sit in the command centre or war room. But yes, it's a fun time.
And there was many years ago an issue with the draft about, well, how do you value something?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it was a coach, I think, who came up with the solution. Wasn't it Johnson or something like that? Came up with a solution of what the draft score should be and what a first round pick, what a number one pick was worth, or number two pick was worth, or number three. And that now is the scale on which now all teams operate in the draft of what each pick is, so therefore what they have to do to compensate for that pick.
It's also very interesting because GMs that have been in teams for a while, they often create their own verbiage and their own kind of routine on how to evaluate players. So you actually get GMs that stick around like Balkan down in the Jags, where it was actually a massive overhaul to get rid of his whole system. She actually had to get rid of quite a few people who were so ingrained in the system because they'd been there for so many years that they couldn't really relearn the verbiage, so they went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Player eligibility. Players must be at least 3 years removed from high school to be eligible, typically including underclassmen who have been declared for the draft and graduated players.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because teams do have different strategies and you get to kind of learn their strategies as you watch the draft over the years. And some teams do best player available, some teams do culture fit is more important to them, and then some, well, you'll go, oh, why aren't they picking them? That's like the best player available. But that's not a team needs. They don't require to pick that player. So yeah, that just, I find it fascinating because it's interesting because everyone has a different strategy.
And the other thing that people get confused about is they go, okay, so we know which teams did what this year, so why has that team not got a first round pick when I thought every team got a pick? But what people don't realise is things have happened the year before.
Yes.
So like when Carolina traded for Bryce Young, they traded their next 3 years number one picks or something like that. Or they're the current and the next two. So therefore they didn't appear, and the only way you can reappear is if someone gives you a number one pick for something that they want. So every year there are teams that, as you say, if there's five with two, that means there's three or four that don't have one.
Yep.
For instance, I don't think the Denver Broncos have got one this year because they traded for Jalen Waddle.
Yes. I think it's just, it's also interesting because there's the whole steals versus bust. And Darren always, not makes fun of me, but he comments on the fact that I think this is very crucial. Team fit matters. Because if you pick the wrong player who doesn't play well in your coaching scheme, who you haven't talked to your coaches, which you can sometimes see this dysfunction happen, and it tends to be on the, not lesser teams, but the teams that you'd say don't have the glory records, that's when you get issues, because you get players like Sam Darnold, who completely busted out the Jets, was viewed as a bust, he bounced around, and then finally he found his fit in the Seahawks and he's won a Super Bowl. So it really, you need to think about who you're picking. And you need to pick the right strengths. It's like you want to hire the right person when you're just hiring people in a normal everyday job, because it is, what's the saying they always say, it costs more to hire the wrong person than it does to hire the right one.
And prospect evaluation kind of fits into that. Before the draft, prospect showcase abilities at a combine where they do reach, they do the 40, they do a number of athletic things.
Broad jump.
Broad jump, all that sort of stuff. Power lift and all those sort of things. Teams also hold top 30 visits, which are 30 formal in-person meetings with non-local prospects.
Yes. Local prospects they can have local pro days for.
Yes.
Where you get people like Adam Thielen.
Yes.
Famously went to the Vikings Pro Day from a local college and then made his way, and he became quite a well-known and famous Vikings wide receiver who has since retired.
Yes, just very recently.
Yes. Happy trails to Adam Thielen.
Yes.
But yes, I think...
I've got two more.
Yes, I've got heaps more.
Oh, go on. Shall we go two more each? You go, because I think it's your turn.
So, I'm just reading from my list, which is terrible. Can you go while I read?
Yeah, no problem. So, the 2026 draft class is being touted as being strong prospect, and you'll love it, for the D-line. Very strong. High level of running back depth as well. See? All those Bronco fans will be like, we know what we're doing, DT. I know you hate our running game, and I know you think that we're never going to win anything, but they may be. They know something about the running.
It's interesting because the running backs this class, there's not a lot of elite running backs. There are a lot of running backs who are good at like one thing. So if you get like a whole group of them, that would be great to form like a good running back committee room, which is actually how Sean Payton tends to run his running back by committee anyway. So, sorry Broncos. I do like you. I just want a running game. This is one very small ask that I feel like has not been delivered. But you've got a star wide receiver now, so yay for you. Anyway, yes, I would say lots of people kind of tune out on the later rounds, but the later rounds are really important to building depth and getting kind of the key situational players and also your special teams players on your team. So I would definitely recommend if you have a team to look and see who they pick up, because you never know, you might get Max Crosby in the fourth round.
I always set my alarm for about 3 a.m. on the Sunday morning, so I can literally get up and watch the latter rounds.
Yes.
So good. And a lot of people put a huge emphasis on getting the first overall pick, because you get like the obviously the first choice, and you can pick what is the cream. However, so many number ones have been a bust, so many. And to put that into prospect, I mean, there's been people that got, like watching Aaron Rodgers in the room when he dropped from what was going to be the top three down to like 25 or something like that. And obviously the most famous drop, well, not even a drop, because I don't think he was ever expected to go high, but one Thomas Brady, who got picked at 199.
You know, he wasn't a drop, but
no, the 199, and look what happened. So it doesn't have to be, you can pick the one, and there's been a lot of busts at one.
Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next one.
I reckon it's a good one to end as the final one.
Yes.
The final pick is...
the last player, and I think it's usually about 262, 264,
yeah,
something
like
that.
Compensatory pick.
That's right. So, Mr. Irrelevant. And there ends our education on the draft.
You know, Mr. Irrelevant off to Disney World every year as well.
Yes.
Happy days.
Here we are. It is. Do you know what? We've overrun, and do you know what? We can.
And we will.
And we will. And do you know what? You will like it.
Okay.
You will like it.
It's super aggressive, for sure. Are you talking defense?
Just bottling my inner Noel Gallagher there, by the way. It's a famous quote. I am not.
So why will I like it?
I didn't say you'd like it. I'm talking about listeners will like it. I'm going to bring some spice. I'm going to bring some spice, and we deliberately left it out the main news as well. So you knew where I was going. The Las Vegas Raiders, never short of a moment of strangeness, including their strange fans. I'm going to give you the case for why this may be the case in a minute.
Okay.
Does the drafting of Kirk Cousins mean that Fernando Mendoza is not locked in to be the Raiders' number one pick, and they may choose to go in a different direction?
No.
Especially after losing the two number one picks they thought they were getting from Baltimore.
No, Clint Kubiak has very strongly come out since the owners' meetings and say he truly believes that new rookie quarterbacks should sit behind veteran quarterbacks. So, no, I think it's just setting up what he wants, which is Mendoza not starting week one. It'll be Kirk Cousins week one, and then Mendoza probably at some point, I'm guessing, in cleanup duty later in the season, because I don't know what your thoughts are on the Raiders, but I don't know if they're Super Bowl bound.
Hell no.
So
no, they're going to be fourth in that division bound. So that's what they're bound.
No, I think Mendoza is going to be the number one overall pick. I think the more interesting one is, where do you rank him as the number one overall pick? Because I think if I had to say him versus, you know, when the Panthers picked Bryce Young, Mendoza way better talent coming out.
Yeah, but I think, yeah. I mean, obviously, winning a national championship, playing for that team was like... It was loaded.
But you could make the argument that most Alabama quarterbacks coming out normally have professional wide receivers.
That's right.
And so did Mendoza.
We've seen the odd Alabama quarterback that's struggled, but...
Yeah.
You know. But actually, scheme fit doesn't really fit
the
Kubiak. Well, so only 3% of his college snaps were under center, and Kubiak's a big under center guy. So there's a huge transition. So there's playbook,
That's why, you can pick up Kirk Cousins so he can learn. I think it's a good move by the Raiders. I think it's good for his development. It's also Tom Brady often cites that quarterbacks should sit before they start, because he did it famously, Mahomes did it famously. I think there is a massive argument for the fact that Mendoza did not run a professional or NFL pro-ready offense at all. He did a lot of those run-pass options. He wasn't asked to do that much, really. He just relied on his star talent, which you then have to go, the Raiders, they have what, Brock Bowers, they have Ashton Jeanty, who you hope will be better this year under Kubiak. There's no wide receivers. Like, who is he throwing to? There's no star wide receivers, so I think it's a good move by the Raiders to sit him behind Cousins.
Well, I think what's interesting here, still pushing my barrow of Mendoza not necessarily being the number one pick, is Kirk Cousins' contract.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's 1 year out. So it's $20 million guaranteed, except it's not $20 million guaranteed. The Raiders have made it so the Falcons pay them $7 million this year. So it's a $13 million guaranteed contract, and then they can get out and there's none left.
But it's also got an option for 5 years.
Yes.
At 172. I want Kirk Cousins' agent.
Yes, I want.
I want Kirk Cousins' agent, because unbelievable. Someone who has achieved nothing has been paid potentially $400 million.
Third most all time.
I know, it's insane.
Third most all time.
Who's won?
I can't even remember who's won, but I remember Goff is like ninth.
Oh, Goff's got to be in there.
So it's just funny. Like, I find it
unreal. So a 5-year, $172 million contract. As you say, the 1 year, $20 million guaranteed, with a club option for 2 years at 80.
Mm-hmm.
The move designed to mentor rookie QBs is the Falcons paying 8.7, as you say. Ridiculous. And there's a $10 million guaranteed roster bonus.
Yep.
So if Cousins comes in and they go, say, I don't know, 11-6. Let's just say. Do you start Mendoza? Because at the minute, Cousins bought 37. 37, something like that. And then
do you honestly see Kirk Cousins going 11-6? With the talent he's throwing to.
Well, we've still got time. We've got time to go yet. There's still trades can be made. They've got a fair few picks. I mean, that's why I think they were really banking on those two number one picks, because they would have absolutely have just gone wide receiver.
Yeah.
They would have gone wide receiver, maybe some O-line, because their O-line's not amazing. I just think, you know, and there are some analysts that are starting to go, the team's got a lot of need.
Yes.
And at number one is a QB now that they've got Cousins. Is it what they need, or is there someone next year that with a better class of QBs? I don't know. Could it be someone next year they've got their eye on instead?
I think you'd be a fool to pass up on your chance of getting number one QB.
Problem is they've spent so much money.
Yeah.
And now they've got to find somewhere for Max Crosby, because at the minute he's back.
Yes.
And we don't know whether he's staying, whether he's going, so. But I don't know. For me, it's not as clear-cut as it was. I mean, I'd still say 70-30, but I was like 100-0. And then Kirk Cousins appears, I'm like,
So you were saying a few weeks ago that Kirk Cousins will not be playing.
I didn't think he would. No, I mean, he'd been injured. He was awful for the Falcons. Awful.
So you truly think that Kirk Cousins for the Raiders?
Well, we've had awful behind Sam Darnold, and we've had awful...
Behind a not great O-line with no one to throw to.
Yeah, but
he looked awful behind an okay O-line and lots of people to throw to last year.
Well, then why do you spend all that money? Because really going to mentor him?
You didn't, though. But you spent $13 million.
Oh, no, that's money.
No, but it's very...
It's nothing money.
Nothing for a quarterback.
Nothing. But, you know, it happens, right? The year that the Vikings went 15-2 or something, no one saw Darnold taking them there.
No. Sam Darnold, I would say, is a lot better than Kirk Cousins in terms of where
he's at. Well, he's got youth on his age right now. That's right, yeah. Like, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
How long does Cousins play before someone... I mean, if they go 0-4, 0-5, Mendoza's coming in.
Argument that the Raiders would trade down, I would say, yeah. But if you're just putting out the argument that they'll pick someone else...
No. I think they could trade down. And because of the value of one, there's some... The Jets need a quarterback. And, you know, there's some teams that would be desperate for Mendoza.
I think they should have done the move a lot earlier because the Jets are set up so that they really shouldn't pick a number one overall quarterback this year because they're not set up for any sort of help in that.
The Dolphins?
Range. The Dolphins are a bit better set up, but then you've got Malik Willis on. I think you've left it too late that the other teams have already planned, and they plan quite far ahead so that they can sort of manoeuvre and have these situations, but you may have left it too late if you're the Raiders and that was your plan.
It'd be interesting. When was the last time a non-quarterback got picked at one? But like, it could be a team that goes out and gets the best defensive...
Cam Ward, Caleb Williams, then Bryce Young, and then was it the year before? It was Trayvon Walker, I think, was the last time.
Yeah.
There was Trayvon Walker, then Aiden Hutchinson. I think that was the last
Hutchinson
time.
Was one?
No, Hutchinson was two.
No, it was two, wasn't it? Yeah.
Trayvon Walker to the Jags was one.
Yeah. So...
Mm-hmm. Who just got paid?
Yeah, someone could technically go and get the best in the draft available, because Mendoza may not be the best available.
Yes, but you could probably trade up with any of the other two or threes or Titans or whatever.
If you traded your one, you could probably trade down to 10 and probably get at least a high second.
Yeah. So.
And maybe even a third or something. So you could really stock up. Fascinating.
Fun times.
There you go. So that is it. That was the end of the showdown.
Yes, it was.
Do you know what? Might even be the end of the show.
I think it is.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, because we can now, because we just can. And that is the end of the show. So as mentioned at the front, don't forget to get those social medias checked out. TikTok, DT, smashing eggs for fun. TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and get on Facebook if you want to be part of our polls. That is our show for another week. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT. Have a good night.
Have a great week.
inside. You're my one obsession. I'll be your possession. You're not to desire, but to burn like fire. Yeah, yeah. You're not what desire, but to burn.
Planet FM, making connections with your community every day, with funding support for New Zealand On Air. Okay, just to be alright.
Streaming now on planetaudio.org.nz.
Diverse.